outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954. With eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit MorrisonsAppliancesAndService.com.
Hey, good morning, everybody. By golly, welcome to Inside Outdoors with old Buddy Bill here.
And Rich Reardon.
Yeah. And we want to thank our sponsor, Morrison's Appliance and Service, right here in Bloomington on West Kirkwood. So, anyway... And then they never said no more, and I never, they didn't bring it back up anymore, and I didn't know where it was or not, and I thought, well, I'll ask Don and see what, if he knows anything about it.
Well, you got to keep in mind, this is Florida, and anytime it gets anywhere near, like, 35, they think it's going to snow, so.
Well, yeah. Good possibility.
Well, it hasn't snowed in Tampa that I know of since 93, but, it's possible. I just didn't hear about it.
Yeah, right. Well, you never know. It did snow in the north, though.
There was a small amount of snow in Jacksonville, I heard.
Right.
So, other than that, it was just cold.
Yeah, well, I presume the way you're talking, you haven't done any fishing.
No, nobody's fishing right now. I saw a few boats out in the Matt Lachey Pass going across that, but nothing serious. And the winds have been real high. So the wind has to calm down before the fishing gets any better.
Right.
And, the fishing around here, I'm telling you, there's so many people, it's been hit so hard that you got to go out 30 miles before you can catch a fish, I mean, you can catch some fish in the canals and whatnot, baby tarpon and things, but to actually really go out and fish in the wild, you got to get out off the shore. Too bad, but true.
Yeah, well, yeah, it is too bad, but, finally, we're getting above zero for a change. It got up to 40s yesterday.
Yes, I've been following the weather there. It looked like it's going to warm up even more, isn't it?
Supposed to get close to 50 today. Hopefully it does, I guess. If it stays around, it's melting some of the snow, and we had a pretty good snow while he's gone.
Yes, I talked to my wife, and of course she doesn't believe in shoveling a driveway or anything. So she's got ice in her driveway.
Did she not go with you?
No, she stayed up there to be with the grandchild.
Oh, I see. I understand. Yeah.
She just couldn't tear herself away, and it's probably a good thing she did because they all got the flu this week.
Oh, my.
Oh, no.
And let's see the... grandchild came home from the nursery with some kind of epizootic, which, that very weekend, Joe was babysitting her and holding her a lot. So Joe comes down with it, and then her battery died in her practically new Honda. They put this tiny little battery in it, more about that later. But anyway, her battery died, and her son drove over from Columbus to fix the battery for her. Isn't that nice of him? And... then he comes down with the flu. And, you know, was in bed for 24 hours. So he was sick at my house, but he had his mom there to take care of him. They've been fighting the flu battle over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, that flu's bad. It's, bad all over.
Well, it's in every state. I saw on TV last night, and here at the Fort Myers Hospital, they say they're taking in 100 new cases every day.
Oh, boy.
And out in Kansas, they're taking in 1,000 new cases every day.
My. There's been several people died from it, too. That's what's bad.
Yeah, and it's different than it's a different flu than was in the flu vaccine they made for this year. So your flu shot apparently didn't protect you.
Well, no, it helps, they said, but I got a flu shot, but, you know, hopefully it helps me.
Well, I hope it does, too. So far, so good on this end. Although, they're a lot of flu down here.
Oh, yeah.
More coming in every day as the snowbird peak has just about hit its top, you know. So they're all here now. The traffic is unbelievable, and the people from everywhere with all kinds of epizootics. Winter in Florida.
Yeah. Good old Florida, yeah. Everybody's down there sick.
Well, it's too bad we don't do what the Japanese do. You ever see that? If they have the
mask.
Inkling of being sick, they put one of those doctor masks across their face and try to keep it away from everybody else. I wish we'd do that.
Well, the only thing is it doesn't work for viruses,
Yeah, that's true. But
viruses just go right through those.
Colds and things. It
might help a little.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's a psychological help.
Yeah.
Primarily.
Well, that's possible, yeah.
Well, I hear that music. It means we're going to take a little short little break here in just a second, but I'm going to put you on hold, and then we'll talk some more. How about that?
All right. See you later.
All right. Don't go away now.
I won't.
All right. Hey, folks, we got to take a little break, and we got to get out of here, and we're going to go down and get us a big old sausage and egg sandwich covered with gravy, and hope you do too, and we'll be right back. Don't go away now.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break. And you're listening to WFHB, Bloomington, Indiana. Volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. So if you're not hearing us too well, you can always get online and listen there. And, one other thing we've been talking about this morning, it is right now, about 36 degrees, so... We've gotten a little bit warmer, but by the end of the day, we're looking at probably in the right around the mid-40s. So anyway, we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors. You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back, folks. By golly, we wasn't gone but a little bit, and we didn't even have time to go get us one of them big old sandwiches. But we'll survive till we can get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You still there, Don?
I had an English muffin.
You had an English muffin? No, them's not too bad if you got enough jelly and butter on it.
Yeah, I had some stuff on it. Some good cholesterol-producing stuff.
Oh, yeah. Was your house damaged or anything from the hurricanes and stuff?
It absolutely was untouched.
That's good.
untouched. There was a couple of small mango trees blown down out in the yard, but yeah, that wasn't any big deal. The main thing that happened last summer down here was everything grew about 2 feet. My palm trees just are, you know, they're trees now. They weren't trees just a few years ago.
Hmm.
And, yeah, my bromeliads are all going nuts. And, you know, all those flowers that you buy at the store, you know,
those are all in
bloom down here right now. So it's real pretty out in the jungle. Real pretty.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Now, do you plant those palms or?
Pardon me?
Did you plant those palms you say are getting big?
Well, actually, the people we bought the house from had planted them the year we bought it. So they were about, less than knee high. And now they're 8 feet tall.
Uh-huh.
So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. And had to whack back all the palm trees had grown out over the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I don't know whether you saw on TV that was an interesting Florida story. Florida's the only place for these stories. Golf course. Did you see the golf course story on TV?
Nope.
There was a big holdup on this golf course here, and everybody walked down to see what was going on, and there was about an 8-10 foot, maybe 10 foot alligator, fat one, into it with about a 15 foot Burmese python, right? So the python is wrapped around the alligator, but the alligator's got the python in his mouth. It's crunching it. And they were both just laying there, and there wasn't any. They just laid there all day, and then they were gone in the morning, so nobody knew who won that battle.
Oh, boy.
Well.
How about that?
That got exciting, I imagine.
Yeah, I'd say. I don't know that. The film they showed of it, they weren't doing anything. They were just laying there. But it looked to me like the python had the worst of it.
I'd say the alligator was digesting his food.
Well, he was just laying there with him in his mouth. Probably crawled away and stashed him out in the lake someplace. It looked like that alligator had been eating pretty well.
Uh-huh.
Well, I thought you were talking about Mar-a-Lago, the
That's not an alligator, is it?
No, I was wondering though.
What?
You could hope, but
oh well. I think that they do have pythons over there.
They probably do.
At least if there's no pythons, there's some snakes in the grass.
Well. I hear it's cost us about $6.6 million to send him down there every weekend to play golf. So,
well,
hopefully
yeah,
they're
doing
something over there. Good, I don't know.
It's,
speaking of that, we don't have a government right now. Did you hear about that last night?
Did they not pass the budget?
Nope. Shut everything down.
Well, one side blaming that one side, and the other side blaming the other side, and nobody's doing nothing.
Apparently not.
But I hadn't heard the last count I had. They were still working on it, and they had a few hours to go. And I never heard any more.
Well, here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. That's as you got that.
Well, you know what? This is all over.
Business by the time Social Security check time rolls around.
Part of the reason I brought this up was because this is an outdoor issue that we're hinging on here. Now, I heard a lot of blaming the Democrats for this, but basically Trump ended a program that's created a crisis for the Dreamers. You know what the Dreamers are, right?
Yeah, right.
And the Republicans have, for months, have held up funding for the CHIP program, which is provides health care for children. And both of these programs, you know, would pass overwhelmingly, but they're Trump is trying to use them as leverage to get his $18 billion for his border wall.
Yes,
and
transparent.
I've been doing a little bit of reading up on this border wall, and it's an unbelievably stupid thing, you know, and especially for the outdoors. There's a lot of places where it could really hurt the, not to mention the people that have property that go up against it and stuff, but a lot of problems. There's places where you can't really even build a wall because it floods part of the year and things like that. I mean, the whole thing doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, the worst thing I heard about is natural thing. And walls or barriers are always bad for wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
And this could cut off migration of many different kinds of animals, including the jaguar, which has made kind of a sneak back into New Mexico, Arizona area. I guess it was actually in New Mexico here a year or so ago. And there are animals like that that have to have huge ranges that are used to ranging across the Rio Grande. They're cut off now. And that's, with only a few potential mates around, something like that could spell the end of a species.
Yeah.
So the wall is not a good idea. And they say it's not going to be everywhere, and I don't see how it can be. So hopefully these animals that are used to migrating locally will find the end of the wall and be able to get around it one way or the other, or dig under it, which is, what the bad guys will be doing. They will be digging under it.
Yeah, or putting a ladder up against it and hopping over it. So one of the two.
Yeah, they'll be electrifying it next.
Yeah. That shouldn't cost anything.
Oh, yeah, that'd be free with coal power.
But this is, thousands of species. This is not just the jaguar, because there aren't a whole heck of a lot of jaguars left. But there are certainly a surprising amount of, protected landscapes down there, and these are desert mountains with subtropical climates. So there's a lot of critters that cross through there, and that's one of the Rio Grande. A lot of the river through there is all the places where they go to get water and everything. And there's also plant species that will be impacted. So it's in general it's. It's just really not something that's good for anybody down there.
Well, it doesn't really matter, because if they want to do it, they're going to do it, and they don't really care about what we say. So, it's like everything else has been going on for the last year. We're just talking to you where you're blue in the face, and nothing's happening.
Yeah.
Nothing's happening, except we're getting rid of the Bears Ear Monument. You see the buffalo are going to slaughter again out in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
And somebody turned a bunch of them loose the other day, and they these buffalo are so dangerous. They walked from the pens, which are right near Mammoth, up to Mammoth Village, and there they were caught and led back to the pens. These are the holding pens where the trucks come and pick them up on the way to the slaughterhouse, and they're killing these buffalo because they don't want to manage their own cattle for brucellosis, the farmers around the park, and they don't want to kill the elk, which carry brucellosis to their cattle, because the elk are worth a lot of money to them. The buffalo, on the other hand, are nothing but a sideshow and eat the grazing areas that they want to use to attract the elk and the elk outfitters and the elk hunters, which pay thousands and thousands, maybe tens of thousands of dollars to hunt an elk.
It is ridiculous what they charge. You're right. And and money is the name of the game, and that's what it all boils down to.
It sure does, Bill. That's the name of every game now. It's the corporate America has assumed its mantle at last. The stuff that FDR fought off back in the Depression has all come back.
Right.
And here we are, you know.
Right.
Here
we are.
Well, they've definitely caught, I think they've got 40 or 50 of them. They have a trap down there that they... Now, are these actually migrating in and out of Yellowstone to these places where the ranchers are?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the buffalo are used to migrating, and that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
In the winter, when they're looking for more food, they migrate out. And there is not a fence, unless it's 6 feet tall and pretty darn strong, that will stop the buffalo, you know? So they just pretty much go where they want to go, and the ranchers see them coming in their territory and say, oh, they're going to kill my cows. Well, it turns out in a story here I saw the other day that the ranchers' cattle themselves are a main source of brucellosis among those cattle out there.
Hmm.
They don't take care of them as well as we might think, apparently. Yeah.
Well, people at the BFC, which is the Buffaloed Field Campaign, they say that the disease has never, there's never been a case of it spread to wild or domestic cattle. But
that's,
you know,
what I've always heard, Rich, but I've also heard that elk do. There are documented cases of elk transmitting brucellosis to domestic cattle.
And female cows, as far as the buffalo, are required to be vaccinated. So I don't know whether they paint a red stripe on their back or what do they do if they've done that, but apparently they do vaccinate them as well.
Well, I have no idea about that. I know that there's, you know, they say there's too many buffalo in the park. Well, you know, I don't know. There's, since they introduced the wolves, there's been a lot of willows growing up along all the streams in the park.
Right.
Since they, and you know, the elk, they eat, the elk is what eats the streamside vegetation, and the wolves eat the elk. And that's another reason why the ranchers want to get rid of wolves, because they eat the elk that they can make a lot of money off of.
Right.
They don't make any money off of wolves.
And there's a big impact that the wolves have on the environment in a positive way. So it's not something you'd really want to lose either.
Well, we don't want to lose them just because we, you know, I don't want to lose them because they're part of the landscape out there. And
mm-hmm.
They should have been all along. And we're going to be back to poisoning them just like in the old days before the current administration is done.
Well, the thing of it is, on them buffalo, if you ask one of them ranchers to go buffalo hunting, you know what the answer is. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's right.
But yet then they'll complain about them coming down and eating their grass and maybe spreading disease. You don't know that they are. But unless you're hunting elk and you're going to pay them $10,000 or $20,000 to go hunt.
Right.
Then
yeah.
You got a different story.
You're not going to get that on a buffalo. You're going to get a couple hundred bucks.
Well, yeah, or even if that, the
right.
Elk is where
they'll
the money's
let you
at.
In.
Yeah.
You still there?
Yes.
Oh.
It's hard to take those verbal cues when we're couple of thousand miles away.
True.
those visual, you know, that eyebrow lift, you know,
right.
Over to you. Here's over to you, Bill. That's what we ought to say, I guess. What else has been going on, man?
Well, did you see we're getting the Culvers here in Bloomington?
Oh, yeah, of course. I saw that was before I left. They were hyping that up.
Well, they finally got it passed, and it's going to be a cluster, it looks to me like, where they're putting it.
Where are they putting it, Bill?
Well, out there just on the west of the Legion out there.
West of the Legion.
Uh-huh, just up on top of the hill there. And, you know, 3rd Street is... got a divider in it, and you go east and west, and that's it. Well, if it's going to be a mess to getting in if you're coming east, because you got to come down and make a U-ey and go back. And if you're going to come out of there and go east, you got to go down west and make a U-ey and come back east. And unless they can utilize that stoplight there at what street is that? What road is that?
Not Liberty. I can't think of it right.
No,
and something like that.
It's the one up above. But anyway, if they can utilize that stoplight, it will help some. But
Third Street is such a mess that. I mean, any time of the day. I can't imagine any more traffic being generated that's going to be good for anybody over there on West 3rd Street.
Well, I can't either. I mean, it's going to,
side.
Like you said, it's going to put a lot more traffic up through there anyway. And I don't know what they's thinking, but that's where they ended up putting it.
Well, there you go. It's the wisdom of our planning process. I don't know.
And then they was complaining about they had to cut 60 or 70 trees or something, and the city was complaining about that. They wanted them to plant trees back and stuff, which is fine. But I got to thinking, you know, out there at Showers, the city went in and cut every tree there was out there, and they didn't replant all of them.
No, they just replanted some maple trees and crabapple trees, just like they do everywhere else, you know, Bloomington.
They was more interested in the mosquito hatchery than they were the trees. They used to be a nice park there. Showers Park was a nice little park.
Yes, it was.
At one time.
Yeah.
Well, gee, is that time to go, boys?
Well, we're going to take a little break here in a minute. But that's what always happens here about halfway through the show. So we will be back in just a minute. So, Bill?
Yeah, don't go away.
You're going to get some... sausage and biscuits?
Well, I'm going to try and get out of here to do it while we're on break, but I don't know where I'll be able to get down there and back or not.
Well, I was hoping you'd brought some along with you.
Well, I should have. I should have stopped and brought them in as I come, but I didn't take time to stop.
So. Well, anybody else that has some, go ahead and grab yourself a bite and a cup of coffee, and we will be right back, right?
Right. We'll be right back in a second.
Listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You are listening to WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio station at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana. Also, 96.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. So you can always listen to it online if you can't get us, even if you're in Wyoming. So in the meantime, I'd like to mention to everyone that it is now 36 degrees in Bloomington, and we're looking at a high of about 43 today. So I think everybody's being pretty joyful about that. So we'll be back here in just a second with more Inside Outdoors.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Hey, welcome back at Inside Outdoors at 6:40. 6:40 in the morning here are folks, and by golly, did anybody write in or asked a question or anything this week, Rich?
No, I didn't hear anything this week, but I think everybody's been so cold that they haven't done anything.
Well, so. I don't blame them. I'd have got next to the far, too. That's where I was at,
that's
next to the far. And only time I got out was of a morning and night to go feed my chickens and check on them and make sure they was all right and had plenty to eat and drink. And that's about as far as I went.
How are those chickens doing?
Them chickens are doing fine. They've kind of slowed down a little in this zero weather from laying eggs, but we're still getting some eggs, and they're doing just fine.
So they made it through that 10-degree weather, huh?
Yeah, well, got a couple of heat lamps in there on them for them, and then I got a lot of straw in there and chips and stuff for them to bed in, and so they're pretty happy.
Go ahead, Don.
Bill.
Yeah.
You give those chickens to drink this in this kind of weather. Do you like spice up their water a little bit? You know, maybe a little touch of this or that to keep them warm.
No. What I do, or what we've got, is a waterer that's actually a heater. It's got a heater in it, and it keeps the water from freezing or anything. It doesn't keep it hot. But it keeps it from freezing.
Well, I was just wondering if they had any additives, you know, like scotch and soda or something like that. But
No, we haven't put any in yet. They're happy chickens the way it is, so we really haven't had to go that route.
Well, do you think chickens would like wine or bourbon or beer?
Well, I've seen them drink beer.
Well, I bet that's the thing, too. You know, I've had dogs that like beer, you know.
Beer must be the going thing.
Well, your dog Bruno always liked beer.
Bruno liked beer, yeah.
Yeah.
Bruno, does your spot, Bill, your buddy, does he like beer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
my buddy likes beer.
We had, when I was in college over here at IU, at the Delta Upsilon house, we had a Dalmatian dog that liked to drink beer. And then he would sing.
We got back when we used to, when I was farming and filled silos and stuff, of course, when you put that silage in green, why, it ferments and the juices run out. And, of course, you got a tile that lets it run out on the ground. And we had a rooster that got into that one time, and, boy, he got happy quick. You ought to have seen that little rascal.
I've seen some pictures of wild animals that got into some fermentation like that, and it gets everybody drunk. And of course, there's a famous Ma and Pa Kettle show where the pigs drink what do you call the stuff that's left over from making whiskey?
Oh, the mash?
The mash, right. They threw the mash out in the barnyard, and the pigs ate it and just got drunker than lords.
Yeah.
No?
They'll do it.
You remember Ma and Pa Kettle, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to see some of them old movies.
I've got the whole collection of them.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I'll loan them to you sometime. You and Clarice can sit out there and remember the old days.
Boy, I'll tell you, that's been a long time back, but them were good movies.
They were very funny.
They don't...
Very funny, I'm telling you.
They don't make movies like that anymore.
No, they don't. Yeah. And you know Ma Kettle, right? Marjorie Main.
Marjorie Main, uh-huh.
And she went to Franklin College.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, she did. She's their probably most famous graduate.
Probably is.
Even if you knew there was a Franklin College. But there is, and it's been around for quite a long time. I think it's... it has something, it originally was founded something to do with orphans, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but anyway, Franklin College and Marjorie Main and Ma and Pa Kettle, the world is a small place.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. You know, Indiana's had several actors that, if you stop to think about it.
Let's name a few. You start.
Oh, gosh. I can't even think of their names. Oh, man.
How about Phil Harris? Phil Harris.
Yeah, old Phil. Yeah, there's one down at Linton.
Yes.
Yeah, you got me on the spot there when you put me on the spot and I couldn't even think.
Well, that's all right, Bill. Nobody requires that.
No, nobody's required that?
No.
Yeah, Phil Harris, he come back to Linton every year there for a long time till he got to where he couldn't.
Yes, and Claude Akins.
Yeah, down at Bedford, yeah.
Yes, he's from Indiana. And, I already said Mars Main, and, Cole Porter and Hoagie Carmichael.
Hoagie, yeah, there was another one. We've had several that from Indiana.
Remember,
we had that gal from on Laugh In, that tall, dark-headed one from Richmond. I can't think of her name, but I guess she wasn't so famous. If I can't remember her name, very funny comedian type gal.
How about Morgan Freeman? He's pretty famous.
Is he from Indiana? I didn't know that.
Yes, he is.
Where's he from? You know.
Let me see. I'll check. He is from. Let me see here.
He's cheating. He's looking.
Well,
I'm
looking at the computer. Of course I am. But he was born in. Let me see here. Memphis, Tennessee.
Memphis, Tennessee.
I guess that's Memphis, Tennessee, Indiana, because they had him listed under Indiana actors.
There is a Memphis, Indiana, you know.
Well, it says Tennessee, so I better stop looking at this site. So
That's okay. Yes, and then, buddy Bill Moser's from Indiana.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
He's a famous singer.
I hear he still hangs out down there around Smithville some.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah, it's kind of like Jimmy Carter. You can go down to Plains, Georgia, and walk down the street and shake hands with Jimmy just about any Sunday, they say.
Boy, he's getting up there in years.
He is. He's a wonderful guy, though. I've actually run into him in the streets of Plains, Georgia, and my dad knew the guy, and... he's a fine man.
Well, I do have a couple other news items to bring up. We've got five vessels stranded in the Mackinac up in Michigan's upper and lower peninsulas in the ice up there. So there must be some ice going on up in the Great Lakes.
Been cold up there.
Yeah. Is that kind of normal? I mean, you're from Wisconsin. Did you see boats stuck in the ice very often?
Around the strait there, yes, because it's shallow water, you know, and a boat could get frozen in there. But usually by now the boat traffic has stopped, and now over in Superior, that doesn't usually freeze up the whole lake anyway. It might freeze up in the bay, but unless it's an exceptionally cold winter, Lake Superior does not freeze up.
Yeah, I suppose it's worse over there in Michigan, huh?
Michigan does freeze up quite often. And there at the Straits is the place, though. You have to be able to get through the locks and things there in order to get on to the St. Lawrence River, which some of them are going. You know, they call them salties, the saltwater boats that come into the Great Lakes.
Right.
And they have to have a little deeper water, so they got locks, and they go around the rapids there at the Sioux. That's French for rapid, by the way. That's S-A-U-L-T, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a real shallow spot, and it would have been a portage in the old days.
Well,
I don't want the water. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just going to say that the, generally that it's just bad on ships and they're, what are you going to do? I mean, it's part of the deal if you're up there floating around, right, in the winter.
Well, yeah, you know, the winds of November come early. That's what did the Edmund Fitzgerald in, eh?
Correct.
And as they say, eh? And I've spent a lot of time in that country, and it's nice up there, but it sure have a hard winter. They have a hard winter. Hey, I had a couple of observations on my drive down here on the interstate road system.
Uh-huh.
Could I pass those along at this time?
Sure.
Okay. The number of trucks is overwhelming. There were periods of times when all I could see were trucks. I had trucks everywhere, and there wasn't any place to get out of the trucks, you know, so many of them. You could actually counted 50 in one line coming up I-65.
Wow.
Okay. And, you know, they say they're going to start doing that to make, what are the convoys out of them, you know, especially when they get those driverless trucks, you know. Now, that's what I want to see is an 18-wheeler going 70 miles an hour with nobody driving it.
Yeah.
That'll be okay. Something, won't it?
That'll be something.
You know, I don't understand this driverless idea at all.
I don't either. I ain't figured that one out either.
Makes you want to take the back roads.
Well, you know, it's a lot. Here's the reason. You know what? It's money. It's, you eliminate the driver, that's probably the major cost of operating that truck.
Right.
So it's the same old, same old.
Yeah.
It's a lot. It's money, money, money.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's seems to be the name of the game right now.
Yes, it is. And okay, my second rant about the highway system. You know, when you used to cross a bridge on the highway, you could look out there and see the prettiest thing that you've seen all day long is that river out there going underneath the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't see them anymore. They raised the edges of the whatever you call them, the concrete guardrail on the side of all the bridges, to the point where you can't even see the river if you're in a pickup truck.
Wow.
You can see it way on down if it's a great big river, but it's one of those nice little meandering streams that you used to be able to look down over and take a look at, you know. Now, can't see those anymore because they're afraid you're going to lose control of your car and run into an 18-wheeler, I guess.
But then they're wanting to put driverless cars on the road.
Yeah.
They're wanting, yeah, there's no safety issues there, eh?
Well, you know, speaking of rivers, do you know about there's a pipeline that they just cut diagonally right through Ohio?
I know, but I'm not surprised. They've been cutting them every place for a long time.
It's the $4.2 billion Rover pipeline, and apparently the EPA, what's left of it, is deeply concerned over a new spill over there. 150,000 gallons of drilling fluid was lost down a hole beneath the Tuscarawas River in southwestern Stark County in Ohio. And
That's fracking, then.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess drilling fluid would be that. We don't know what that is, really, I guess. So, this is the same place where more than 2 million gallons of the same fluid mixed with diesel leaked last April, and it's turning up in the wetlands there. And there's another mess. Yeah, another mess.
Where is that in Ohio?
It's Stark County. I'd have to look it up.
Is that on the river down along the Ohio River somewhere?
No, I'll look it up while we're talking here, but
okay.
It is.
Well, there's some really nice fishing streams in the southern and southeastern part of Ohio, which I've got a feeling that's probably where it is, but I don't really know. So anyway, Ohio's a state we never think about too much except when we play them in sports and there's some wonderful, you know, Southern Ohio, Southern Indiana, Southern Illinois are three wonderful spots that very few people know about it, thank goodness. And except for these little, you know, the corporations know about it because they can dump their stuff down in there and get away with it, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Stark County is in kind of northeastern Ohio, kind of over by the border of Pennsylvania. And so I'm sure there's a lot of nice streams and things there for sure.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, Pennsylvania is where the oil business began in the United States. The first well was drilled there.
Yeah.
Way back. So, yeah, I was we're not surprised there's be oil around there or something. Hey, Bill, you got your fishing tackle ready to go?
You got my what?
Fishing tackle.
Got it ready to go?
Hey, it's always ready.
It is. You know, well, what do you think? Another month?
At least 6 weeks.
6 weeks. Well, we got, when's the groundhog due? That's in February.
Yeah, that's 2nd of February, the groundhog.
Well, that's not too far off.
No.
Well, about 2 weeks, we'll know whether we got six more winter. But I get the feeling we will have it, but we'll see.
Well, you're one of the buddies of that groundhog Phil out there, aren't you?
Yeah, that's the only holiday I recognize throughout the year.
Well, speaking of natural weather signs, I got to say, you know, for Indiana, let's see, what did we predict this year, Bill?
For what?
Well, he didn't hear what we talked about in the beginning, Bill, did you? Remember about the fog and January?
Oh, the fog and stuff? Yeah.
And the hornet's nests and, you know, all that stuff.
Well, the hornet's nest was kind of low this year. Some of them were the ones I heard about. That means we ain't going to have much snow, but we've already had a pretty good snow.
And your persimmons were knives, which means cold, right?
Yeah, and boy, it was cold.
Yeah, well, they got the cold part right.
So that part come true.
Hey, well, listen, we're about out of time. Don, we'll talk to you next week, and thanks for calling in. Hang out there and enjoy that hot weather.
All right.
Hey, we'll talk to you next week, Don.
Bye, Bill.
See ya. Well, boys and girls and folks, we're going to have to kind of slide out of here, I guess, because the time's up. And like Rich said a while ago, if you've got any questions or want to know something or talk about something, why, drop us a note or give us a call or whatever, and we'll be glad to get it on.
All right.
So we've got to slide out of here. Everybody have a good week. Enjoy this warm up, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Visit MorrisonsAppliancesAndService.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich. And listen online anytime at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning. And so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Inside Outdoors. And again, this is WFHB Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered radio, community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And again, as we've been talking about earlier today, and the temperature now is 36 degrees in Bloomington. High will be about 43, but it'll be a nice day today. So looking forward to a little bit more warm weather and the thaw that's happening. So this has been Inside Outdoors. We'll be back to see you next week. Bye-bye.